Good morning. How are you guys doing? All right. Hello, everyone online that's watching, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is a beautiful Sunday morning, and we are going to have a wonderful time in God's Word. I might feel like I'm a little loud. Am I good? Okay. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 5. And we've been going through the Beatitudes. And we are in a Beatitude that is sort of well-timed for our time. So, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. So Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's teaching the crowds, and he is teaching in principles of the kingdom. Matthew 5, I'm going to start with verse 1. We're actually going to be in verse 9. That's our goal verse. That's the verse we're going to look at. Verse 1, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and began teaching, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Here we go, verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, if you've been with us, we've known there's a progression in these Beatitudes. It all starts with being poor in spirit. That's where it all begins. And they build up on one another. The first three are sort of our need before God. And it starts with just absolute necessity of, "God, I need you. I am going in the wrong direction," and you come to a place of poverty of spirit where you recognize that without God, you have nothing. So he begins to fill you in the last three. We looked at those who hunger, those who are merciful, and those who are pure in heart. But this last one, the peacemaker, is interesting because the peacemaker has to be pure in heart. The peacemaker... You can't be a peacemaker unless you're pure in heart. And of course, you can't be pure in heart unless you've mourned over your sin. See, beforehand, you're mourning over your sin, what to do with your heart. You recognize your sinfulness before God, and God does something. He changes. He purifies that heart. See, what we're seeing here in the merciful aspect, the merciful one is one who's able to give mercy because he's been meek before. He was gentle and meek before because he was broken over his sin. And God does a transformation, a change within a person's heart. See, it's all about the person's heart. Everything about this, these aren't sort of things you need to do to go into the kingdom of God. This is what God does within the believer's heart. It's a wonderful thing. It's a transformation, right? And in one sense, it's a lifelong going because we grow and we mature in the depths of our heart of handing more and more things of our heart to God, right? But initially, it starts there. And a person who's hard-hearted, dead-set about going about his life on his own doesn't see a need for God in his life, right? He just carries on. He sees no need for God in his life. He just goes on his own until he comes, hopefully, to a breaking point and realizes, I've tried it all. I'm frustrated, and I've tried it all. Nothing's working. And two, he comes to a place where his heart is ready to say, "Okay, Lord, I give up." And then God does something. He makes the person realize the utter sinfulness of their heart, and they begin to, it says in verse 4, mourn over their sin. And they begin to now become meek or gentle because now there's a change that happens, right? And so on the last part, the purity of the heart, the mercifulness of the heart, that's all God doing. It's interesting, in the book of Genesis, it says that God created the heavens and the earth, right? And it says it was formless and void, is what the scripture says. In Hebrew, it's tohu vavohu. It means to be without form and empty. In the first, 6 days of creation, the first 3 days are God now putting form to this creation, and then he fills it. It's same the way in the Christian life. He gives form to the believer, and then he begins to fill the believer. It's a wonderful thing, where God makes you pure in heart. He makes you merciful. But then when he makes you a peacemaker, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This sermon is actually not a sermon, it's a prayer, okay? My sermon is a prayer. And my first point in my prayer is this: God, we need peacemakers, don't we? Amen? God, we need peacemakers. Where are the peacemakers? Anything I talk about peacemaking, it's now, isn't it? God, we need peacemakers. Lord, we need peacemakers. Where are the peacemakers? Lord, we need peacemakers. You can't turn on the news without seeing trouble, can you? You can't go on Facebook. You can't go on Instagram, Twitter, any of that stuff without seeing some conflict. And, of course, there's the obvious ones we're facing in our country now. Just sort of stand back and watch it, right? Not engage it, sort of just stand back and watch it. And I just kind of look at, I did a Google search about wars. How many wars are going on in this world? It depends on who you ask. Because there's some tribal wars in some countries, some, you know, rebels here and rebels, you know, all over the world. There hasn't been a year where there hasn't been a war. In fact, the UN, I looked at the UN, their preamble, their motto for why they exist. It's all because after 1945, you know, we need to have peace. They are established to establish peace. Well, we haven't had 1 year of peace in the world. Not 1 year of peace in the world. The goals are great, right? Establish peace. How many of you guys want to go vacation in North Korea? North Korea, South Korea are still at war. You know that. That's a ceasefire. And if you ever watch those videos where those guys are on they look at each other and they're ready to go. It's tense. Russia, China, Israel. There's a country. I love going to Israel. I feel safe in Israel. But guess what? The surrounding nations would love to have Israel gone. There hasn't been 1 year without war. Well, let's try harder. Peace agreements, right? Let's pass some treaty. How long is that lasting? Doesn't last at all. Where are the peacemakers? Lord, we need peacemakers, don't we? That's just international, right? And look within our own country. I mean, you can't. Tensions in our country, murders, protests, violence, peacemakers. We need peacemakers, Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall become sons of God. We got conflicts within our churches too, you know that. You put the wrong color carpet down, church split, you know. You sing the wrong songs, people leave, right? So you have more committees, you know. And nobody's happy. Lord, we need peacemakers. God, where are the peacemakers? Relationally. Now, everyone says the divorce rate is 50%. That's actually not true. It's actually not true. I actually researched that as well. It's interesting because the latest, they don't measure it that way, but it's sort of like a lot lower, but the reason why the divorce rates are a lot lower because people are not getting married. Although some millennials are staying married, but a lot of millennials aren't getting married anymore. So it's not this 50% as we, but it's not a good number. Let's just put it that way. We need peacemakers in our marriages, don't we? Lord, where are the peacemakers? See, the peacemakers are the ones who have been pure in heart, the ones who are, but there's also, we also have personal conflict, don't we? I'll be the first one to tell you, I may see something that offends you and hurt your feelings. And I hope to always make amends for those things. A lot of us have been hurt by people. A lot of people are conflicted, are not at peace within themselves. We have medication for anxiety, don't we? If you have anxiety, medication, panic attacks, medication, depression, all this stuff, right? That's a turmoil. That's to help ease the turmoil of the heart, right? That's why people turn to those things and drinking and other things like that. They turn to sort of, because their heart's not at peace. God, we need peacemakers, don't we? Stress. I mean, all this we want, you know, and then there's this lack of peace within the heart. And Jesus says, God, blessed are the peacemakers. And I say, Lord, we need peacemakers. Now, we have tried, haven't we, to do something about the lack of peace, whether it's on an international, national, relational, personal level. We have tried. You know, we've tried, you know, like I said, there's ceasefires and peace agreements. There's politics. When I was a kid, my grandmother would complain about the politicians. But grandma, this one's a different, I was a little boy. I know, this one's a different one. Grandma's like, no, they're all the same. Because there's only so much a person can't do what Jesus is telling us that only God can do. And being a peacemaker. See, if the issue is really about the human heart, the issue is there in the depths of the human heart, and no mere mortal can do something about the human heart. That's in God's territory. Amen? That's in God's territory. But we'll try, right? We'll try. We'll have peace agreements, ceasefires. We'll have coffee talks. Hey, let's have a discussion about this whole thing we're facing. Hey, let's get the two sides together and talk about it. And guess what? That's great. It doesn't change your heart. It may help you, you know, navigate things. But ultimately, at the end of the day, only the gospel of Jesus Christ, only the Lord will change a human heart. So, Lord, we need peacemakers. They have something called the Nobel Peace Prize. I chuckle because you would think this person has figured out how to bring peace, but no. No lasting peace, right? So Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Lord, we need peacemakers. And the issue here in the entire planet Earth, the entire history of humankind, is that there's only one person who can bring peace, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. It's any peace that happens, whether on international, community, national, relational, anything has to be centered on Jesus Christ. That cross, okay, you see that cross? I was going to have it down here, but that cross is Jesus bringing one side and another side together in himself. Amen? Without Christ in the conversation of peace, you have no peace. Christ is the only, he is the Prince of Peace, isn't he? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah says he's the Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and there will be no end to the increase of his government or his peace. Another one, when Christ rules, there's no end to his peace. Here, we have no peace without him, but with him, there's no end to his peace. Amen? So any dealings with a sibling, a loved one, if Christ is not in the center of that, there is no peace or no means for peace. He is the God of peace. Heaven is a place of peace, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I am looking forward to, I don't know about you, but how many of you guys like to go on retreats or vacation because it's a stress thing, you know, you want to de-stress and you kind of need to have that, you know, then you go back to you know, vacation ends and you kind of like, oh, the pressure comes on, you know, and you feel the weight of the world coming upon you and you're like, heaven will be a place of never-ending peace, like never, Connie, never-ending peace. never-ending peace. I don't know about you, but I am waiting. And but we can have a little bit here that here on earth with Christ, right? He is a Prince of Peace. He's a peacemaker. In fact, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Sons of God. That means God Himself is a peacemaker. You go in Genesis. Before the fall, it's peaceful. You go in Revelation. At the end, it's peaceful again. In between is God's mission and plan to bring about peace. Right? To bring about peace. God Himself is a peacemaker. Jesus made peace for us with God. Romans 5 says, "Therefore we have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, Lord, we need peacemakers, and we've tried to be our own peacemaker, but we must recognize, God, that only Jesus can bring about true peace. That's part of my prayer. Lord, we need peacemakers, and we've tried to bring peace, and we failed. So we recognize, God, that only Jesus can bring true peace. True peace has to be centered on Christ. You ever wonder why they don't invite pastors to these peace talks? I don't know. Maybe they do, but I just wonder about that. Because the world thinks it can do things on its own and establish, but it's batting zero. You know that. It has a zero. We have, as a society, a batting average of zero. Like, and yet we keep trying. But Jesus is, peace is through me, he says. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation." See, Jesus brings us peace. We recognize, God, that only Jesus can bring us peace, because only Jesus can change the human heart. He's the only one who can. See, at the end of the day, it's he has to deal with it on an individual level, right? You say, well, this group needs to find this, and this, and at the end of the day, it's God says, you individually need to find Jesus to find peace. It's not on a national level or even on a gender or racial level or anything like that. It's on an individual level, human, before God. Only Jesus brings peace to the human heart. He brings people together. Jesus is our peace. So God, we need peacemakers. We've tried. And only Jesus can be the one who brings true peace to our country, to our families, to our sons, our daughters, our lives, our marriages. Christ has to be the center there. If Jesus does it on a cosmic scale between God and man, right? I mean, that's what he died on the cross for, is to bring the two groups together, right? And to reconcile. Don't you think he can do it on a personal level in relationships? Now, it may be difficult where God says, "Now you need to apologize." Lord, come on, Lord, you know. It may be a little, you know, but he directs you that way. You know? And after a while, being stubborn, say, "No, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to say I'm sorry." And the Lord says, "Come on. Okay, God, you're right." You know, and you humble your heart and you go. That's Christ, you know. See, Jesus brings people together. The devil separates and divides, doesn't he? That's what the devil does. He separates and divides. He gets you near a little corner. He gets you near a little corner, and he gets you think you're hiding out, and you're kind of like thinking you're, and he gets you separated. God, we need Jesus to bring us peace. We need peacemakers. But Jesus says this: "Blessed are the peacemakers," which means that not only is he a peacemaker, but then he commissions us to be peacemakers, doesn't he? Right? We need peacemakers, God. Jesus is the central peacemaker, but then he says, blessed are the peacemakers. That's you and me as believers in Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. I love that. Because when you bring people together, you resemble God. This whole book is a book written about God reconciling himself to fallen man. You know, in the Bible, there's several examples of peacemakers. You have one, Abraham. So Abraham is promised the promised land, right? God says, hey, look at the stars. That's how many descendants are going to be. And everywhere you walk, everywhere you see is going to be your land, right? But there's a point when he's traveling with his nephew Lot, and they're both successful, and Lot's herdsmen kind of get upset at Abraham's herdsmen. And Abraham says, hey, Lot, I'll give you first choice. You know, it's been given to him, right? As a peacemaker, he says, I'd rather you get first choice. If you want this place, I'll go that place, you know? And of course, Lot chooses what he does. And Abraham is a peacemaker. He doesn't say, no, actually, Lot, this is all mine. Get out, right? He doesn't do that. Because he's more about the relationship than about the stuff, right? He puts the person above the thing. Amen? But Lord, I've tried to be a peacemaker, but I want to be a peacemaker. Lord, you're telling me, be a peacemaker. Lord, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God. But there are things in my life that prevent me from doing that, Lord. Okay, what is that, John? Well, first of all, I get jealous over people. Look at James. I want you to go to James. There's James chapter 3. Go to the book of James. James actually is a commentary, in some sense, is a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. There's a lot of themes that are in James that he follows the Sermon on the Mount. But if you go to James chapter 3, watch this. James 3 and verse 13. Watch this. Here are some things that I ask the Lord to remove from my heart because they don't make for good peacemaking. Here it is. Watch this. Verse 13. James 3:13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Here it is. Jealousy, selfish ambition are things that prevent peace. Because all you do is thinking about yourself, right? Or you're wanting what you want at the cost or expense of relationship with somebody else. Jealousy leads to division. Selfish ambition leads to division, leads to things doing it my way and how I want it. That's what leads to a lack of peace. Stubbornness of heart. In fact, he says, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Keep going down. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and evil and every evil thing. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, this heart attitude right here is what prevents peace. We want what we want, when we want it, how we want it, and if it's all done for me, that's how I feel good, right? But that doesn't create peace. In fact, go into chapter 4, look at verse 1. James says, I mean, this is directly talking about the lack of peace. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, and so you commit murder. Jesus says, if you are angry with somebody in your heart, you've committed murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so you may spend it on your pleasures. He goes on from there. You see, so James is dealing with the issues. These are the things that prevent. He's talking to believers here. You know that. This is now we're getting a little we're getting a little into the. He's talking to believers. Even as believers, we have times where we have How many of you guys have ever had time when you're selfish? Okay, how many are never selfish? Okay, that's okay. Thank you for being truthful, right? We deal with that, right? Because we have what we want and how we want it, and we don't like, and we kind of press in our way, and we don't consider somebody else, and so we in fact, some of us criticize. In fact, he talks about this about speaking, like judging and criticizing. Those are all things that prevent peace. So sometimes when God calls us to be peacemakers, he calls us to also deal with those things in our own heart, right? God says, I want you to be a peacemaker, John. Yeah, but Lord, I'm prideful. And, you know, we kind of get that self-protective mode, don't we? So in order to be a peacemaker, of course, there has to be a surrender to God. There has to be a purity of heart before you become a peacemaker. I say, Lord, go back to Matthew 5. Lord, make me a peacemaker. Remove those things from my heart that would prevent me from being a peacemaker, like my pride, my jealousy, my stubbornness. Help me to realize, Lord, that this relationship is more important than my interests. So back in Matthew 5, so what does it take? If God wants to make us peacemakers, what does it take? Well, here's a prayer. Lord, give me a pure heart. Purify my motives. Purify my heart. Lord, please give me a humble heart. It takes humility to make peace with somebody, doesn't it? It takes humility takes humility, doesn't it? It takes humility to be a peacemaker. Especially if you are one of the parties, you have to go to somebody else, right? Or if you notice you have two parties, if you're at odds with somebody, it takes humility to say, hey, how have I offended you? Right? It takes humility. Because you got to swallow your pride. Because meanwhile, while you're saying, well, I'm waiting for them to go, God says, no, you go. Interesting, watch this. When God decides to bring peace between himself and humanity, who makes the first move? Who makes the first move? God does, right? So to make peace, often it's, even if you're the one who's not the one who's guilty, Jesus and God made the first step. Right? The initiative, because you care about the relationship being reestablished, right? Even though you're not, God was not at fault. He was offended, right? But he took the first step. He takes the first step. He takes the initiative. That's what Lord, give me the heart to take the initiative, right? Give me the courage to see this through. Because if you're going to be a peacemaker, it's not going to be a really easy thing sometimes. It has to take commitment, right? To get down and dirty, right? And to deal with the issue. See, Jesus died on the cross, which meant he was committed to doing something about the issue, right? It may need a heart-to-heart conversation. It may need a confession of heart, right? A repentance. It may need just, you know, but a commitment to see it through, and a courage, and a willingness, doesn't it? To be a peacemaker isn't just more than signing on the dotted line. It means, it may say, hey, however long this takes, my relationship with you or y'all relationship with one another is worth keeping or worth reestablishing because it glorifies God. Amen? Peacemaking requires patience, doesn't it? Because a lot of times you're dealing with people, aren't you? You know, if you're dealing with numbers, you put the numbers together. But if you're dealing with people, you're dealing with human hearts, right? Which means you're dealing with people's past, their hurts, their expectations. You know, all this stuff comes on, and it's like, whoa, where the, then you, things come up, right? And you're like, where did that come from? It requires great patience. I just look at our Lord, how he was so, he is so patient with us, isn't he? He is committed to reconciling us to God, that he went all the way to the cross, right? That he doesn't give up on you and I, does he? He is committed. He's in it for the long haul because he recognizes it's worth it. And the peacemaker has that vision that it's worth having parties brought together. The nature of God is this, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that live in eternal Trinity in unity, in love, and completion. And that is the picture of relationships on that we're supposed to emulate. And the brokenness that happens among people, God says, no, 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 it's got to reflect what I have here, because what I have here is glorifying. The peacemaker recognizes that. The peacemaker, of course, is gentle. Peacemaker is committed, and they're patient, and they see it's worth it. A peacemaker recognizes that people matter. Paul says, what does he say in, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Take the first step. Sometimes, James, it's hard to do, right? Because you stand your ground, you're like, well, I'm right in this right here, right? Right? And you stand your ground, it's like, I am not moving. I'm not compromising, James, right? Oh, okay, God. You call me. That's why a peacemaker, you ever notice a peacemaker is now, it comes after poor in spirit, gentle, meek, da-da-da, pure in heart. Now I'm ready, because I've dealt with all that stuff, right? And sometimes before, I have to go back and revisit what has hauled me back. But peacemakers, it's worth it. God has called each one of you to be a peacemaker. Each one of us is called as believers to be a peacemaker. My first question is, God, where are the peacemakers? It's the church. We ought to be the peacemakers of the world, right? We have what the world's looking for. God, Jesus is blessed of the peacemakers, and he intends that for every believer. Wherever along the line we are at, Lord, make me a peacemaker. Give me the humility of a peacemaker. Give me the vision of the commitment, the courage of a peacemaker to be like Jesus in bringing people together. May it be that as the church, we, as Paul says, that we are to put on our gospel shoes of peace, aren't we, right? Right? In Ephesians, we wear the shoes of peace. That means everywhere we go, we are to bring peace. Gospel shoes, the gospel of peace, right? Gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. Lord, give us the wisdom of a peacemaker. May it be that we as believers individually and as a church are a peaceful church. Now, of course, to be a peacemaker, you have to recognize you are dealing with the issue that happens, right? That the things that cause it, right? But you're committed to seeing that through, and you're committed to making things right. And it may require repentance and changing of heart and changing of and confession and all that kind of stuff, right? But you say it's worth it. Lord, make us examples of peacemakers. Lord, I asked you, where are the peacemakers? God says, right here. You are to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called sons of God. God is looking for peacemakers. Our world is looking for peacemakers. Lord, make us, like Jesus, peacemakers. It says in Colossians, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of God to dwell within Christ, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having peace through the blood of his cross. He's established peace because of the cross. May we be like Jesus. May we become peacemakers and have the humility in the heart and the desire to bring about the gospel of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I close with this verse. Isaiah 52 says this: how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. We serve a God of peace, and we are to be ambassadors of peace and to bring peace to the world through the gospel of Jesus. It starts and ends with Christ.